for us, it's really just about, you know, understanding the customer. So we'd spent, you know, hundreds of hours with GPs, watching them use existing tools, and like asking them, you know, what spreadsheets do you hate? Like, oh, this spreadsheet, I always got to come back to this because this thing does that thing, but then I need to track it here. And you're like, okay, there's an opportunity there. And when you hear enough of sponsors talk about the same spreadsheet that they're using to solve a specific problem, it's like, okay, there's something there we can help them be more efficient, onboard more capital, and, you know, work with more investors.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Andy Kribar is the CEO and co-founder of GP Flow, which is on a mission to unlock the potential of real estate. He spent his career working in fintech and real estate. He lives in New York with his young family. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Excited to be here.
Absolutely, Andy. The pleasure is mine. There are three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
For sure. So I started my life in a place called Sydney, Australia, and then moved to the US in 2015 with my girlfriend, now wife. Since then, I've been working in fintech as real estate, as you mentioned. What really changed for me is probably during the pandemic. Over the last 10 years, my wife and I had acquired a few single family rentals and apartments. But we got crushed during COVID. You know, places went empty. We were doing concessions, ton of management. And then we went really deep on multifamily. We found there's lots of great syndicators across the country, lots of great sponsors, great deals, aligned incentives. So we started a GP Flow that focused on helping build better software for them and unlocking new capital pools and markets and getting more LPs invested in these deals. Today, as you mentioned, I live in New York. We're really excited to share what we do and how we can help both sponsors and LPs in private real estate.
There are a lot of moving pieces, I feel like, in that short story you just told. 2015, you moved to the States, girlfriend, you're involved in fintech. I mean, were you involved in tech before you came to the States? But there had to be a background in there somewhere.
I was actually involved in technology banking. I worked at a company called Macquarie Group, which is well-known in Australia. They do some stuff around the world, but very well-known in Australia. Investment banking, I did that for 5 years. It was fantastic. Got knee deep in models and presentations and financial calculus and lots of stuff. But I knew my future was in technology. And I knew the best place to be in technology at the time was in San Francisco. So we moved there in 2015, you know, packed up all our stuff, arrived with a couple of backpacks and a dream, and we just got underway doing it from there.
Wow. That's inspiring. And then you said COVID came around, you owned some single family rentals, maybe some apartments along the way. This is not but 3 years ago, and you kind of, in my own summary, got your teeth kicked in COVID. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Let's run with that. Got my teeth kicked in. But my journey with real estate started from a young age. My dad's actually an architect, and he used to always take me around, you know, on weekends. It would be moving my brother or sister, change house, or helping someone renovate their kitchen or whatever it was. And he taught me two things that really stood out with me. One was how beautiful real estate is, but also how it's a platform for building financial wealth. And those two lessons really stuck with me. So then first chance I got to buy a property was in 2012. We bought a small one bedder, which we converted to two in a place called Bondi in Sydney. And that's really where I got my fix. I was like, wow, we can actually improve these things, generate wealth, and also improve the quality of life of people living in these buildings. And that's where we started aggressively, you know, buying and investing over the last 10 years. And we've been lucky to now own property in Australia, in the US and Canada, which is where my wife's from.
That's really, really awesome. So you made it through but it sounded like in that period during COVID, you said you started working with multifamily sponsors and people around the country. You said, okay.
Yeah.
What capacity were you working with them? As an investor, as a co-sponsor, as what was that?
So it was actually, the catalyst was really during COVID. We have a few places in Bondi in Sydney, and Bondi is a tourist town. Like, I think probably 50% of the apartments get rented out to tourists and backpackers.
Wow.
And when COVID came in, you know, laws came in, everyone, all the expats from that world, around the world went home. Bondi pretty much went half vacant because everyone that, you know, might be a Brit hanging out in Australia had to go home. So all those places are vacant. So we had our places go empty for months. A couple other places in the US also had some challenges around, you know, concessions and supporting people to not move them out of the place. And that's when it really switched me, which is like, I know real estate's the path, but like managing single family apartments and houses is really tough to scale.
Right. Right.
That's already led me to multifamily, which is like, wow, people are doing this at bigger scale with more diversification, better returns, and LPs can get 15% of their money investing passively in other people's deals. Wow, that's where we want to go with it. And that's what really led me down the multifamily path and getting started in working with GPs and LPs.
How did you discover the GP flow, your gpflow.com? Like, it seems like that would have been, or let me just, maybe I'm a slow learner, but the processes that you've developed inside of that would have probably taken me a decade to figure out. And it seems like you've somehow taken all of those lessons and compiled them, not just compiled those lessons, but then also made it a platform for others to use very, very quickly. How did you do that?
Probably two factors in that. So me and my co-founder, Patrice, and my CTO at our last company, we built B2B software in fintech. You know, it worked out well for us. We'd both been investing in real estate. We hadn't built software for real estate before. And then from going deeply into multifamily, we saw this opportunity around helping GPs, you know, raise more capital, do it faster, be more efficient, those sorts of things. There's also this big overarching wave of more and more LPs getting involved in real estate. And I'm sure there's many sponsors listening to this. It's chaos to get a deal done. You need to find the asset, lock it up, those sorts of things. But then chasing around 50, 100 different LPs for 50 grand, 100 grand checks, using different tools, it's in the CRM, it's in HelloSign, it's have we got the why yet? There's just a lot of manual processes and workflows, which ultimately prevent sponsors from working with broader audiences.
Right.
Also on the regulatory angle, which, you know, is changing, which we can speak about in a moment. And we said, look, there's lots of opportunity to help GPs do this better, which will ultimately help more LPs get access to the, you know, the great returns that private real estate can provide.
Right. So I wholly understand those pains very, very well. And I think correct me, and this is why I want to hear this, because even with the right systems in place, and I won't name any names, but we just launched our latest fund. And even with a fund administrator in place that is handling, theoretically, all of that investor onboarding and all those systems, it's like, okay, hey, we're going to pay you handsomely to take care of this. Even then, I'm still involved somewhere. Somehow there's a, hey, what about, and this, and wait, but there wasn't a signature from a, and it's like, wow, like this was supposed to be turnkey. So I feel like there's no magic pill, but yet you've solved some of the major pain points, I would think, in the system that you developed. So talk to me about those pain points and what you've done to overcome some of those, such as the ones you just mentioned, where it's hello signed, talk me through some of that.
I'll give you the founder lens and then the real estate lens. So in building software for anyone, like it's always in building any business really, to really critically understand your customer, like what are their pain points? How are they using it? Those sorts of things. And when you find customers that are using five different tools to do the one thing, you know, there's generally opportunity there, which is like, okay, how can we build a better, you know, holistic solution for these individuals? In talking about all those different point solutions and, you know, management, there's definitely a lot to it, but that's obviously the beauty of technology, which it can automate a lot of this stuff. Real estate's an incredible industry, but it's often a slow moving industry. There's a lot of wealth with, you know, traditional generations that are used to doing deals in a certain way and those sorts of things. And I think that's changing a lot. You're seeing more and more syndicators, you know, target, you know, accredited investors or target retail scale really quickly. So you think that industry is evolving and being more receptive to adopt technology and do this stuff, you know, in new ways. For us, it's really just about, you know, understanding the customer. So we'd spend, you know, hundreds of hours with GPs, watching them use existing tools, and like asking them, you know, what spreadsheets do you hate? Like, oh, this spreadsheet, I always got to come back to this because this thing does that thing, but then I need to track it here. And you're like, okay, there's an opportunity there. And when you hear enough of sponsors talk about the same spreadsheet that they're using to solve a specific problem, it's like, okay, there's something there we can help them be more efficient, onboard more capital, and, you know, work with more investors.
That makes a heck of a lot of sense. Yeah, I'm sitting here as you're talking, looking here at your website, and I think it's really, really cool. But this, would you categorize this as more than an investor portal? Because there's lots of investor portals out there, and it seems like there's more to this than just that.
Of course, it's more than an investor portal. We differentiate across a number of different ways. But one thing that's and a top of our mind, we're thinking a lot about recently, is just the use of a CRM. There's a lot of incredible CRMs out there. You know, HubSpot, ActiveCampaign, MailChimp even, all these sorts of things. And they've all got really powerful workflows. And 90% of the syndicators we work with are using one of those systems. Right? So it's really good for automated touch points, for sequences, for workflows, whatever it may be. But when we think about investor portals, a lot of these investor portals have actually built out their own CRM in it. And then it ends up having sponsors having two databases of like, I've got Sam Smith over here, but it's actually Sally Smith here. And is that the same one that signed the subscription docs? And then they're reconciling those things. So one thing we've focused a ton on is actually building into existing CRM workflows. So sponsors that are, you know, managing a pipeline in HubSpot or ActiveCampaign or those sorts of things, as soon as they move from stage X to stage Y, then automatically trigger this thing in GP Flow to send out, you know, signature docs or those sorts of things. And really just use one CRM as a source of truth versus having, you know, two. So things like that, where we're not so much focused on being another investor portal, but really differentiating around how can we do stuff differently or better for how sponsors are using technology differently.
Right. No, you're spot on correct. Cause that's, I mean, even, and I'm guilty of it. You just touched on a pain point. That's a very, very present reality for me where it's like, oh, hey, cool. I'm really glad that Andy signed up on our investor portal. But does that tie then back into, and for us, it's ActiveCampaign. Does that tie back into ActiveCampaign? And are those two talking? The answer is probably not. And,
for sure.
And that's a loss. I mean, my gosh, people sign up on the investor portal, but then there's never a follow-up sequence. If there's never the, hey, by the way, email sent to me or investor relations or somebody else saying, reach out to Andy. That person is lost.
Yeah, we see a lot of sponsors try and duct tape these things together with Zapier or other tools. But at the end of the day, it can work if you're managing 100 investors, but if you want to get to 1,000 and do bigger and bigger deals and more deals, ultimately you need to move outside of your personal network or friends and family and attract new investors and nurture new investors.
Yep.
And for that, you need the best CRMs. And for that, we want to be the investor portal that works with those best CRMs seamlessly.
Right. No, I think that's really, really awesome. Yeah, man, I'm excited to take a demo here of your product here at gpflow.com. That's pretty awesome. Let's talk about the other side of this business, because it's one thing for the guy selling shovels to tell you how great the shovel is. It's another thing for the guy selling shovels to be using a shovel himself, right? And so you have built another website and another capital raising platform online that is built off of your GP Flow product. Is that right? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's right. We eat our own dog food at Honeybrick.
There you go. I like that.
A crowdfunding platform built on GP Flow. And it's something that they teach a lot in the venture-backed technology community, which is like the faster you can start dog fooding your own product and actually be your own customer, you know, the better product you can build. So we do that ourselves at Honeybricks, you know, everything at Honeybricks, at honeybricks.com, which is a crowdfunding platform for multifamily syndications across the country. Everything there is running on GP Flow. So whether it's onboarding investors, accreditation, distributions, you know, sending out shares, whatever it may be, that's all using our software. And we've got a ton of learnings and things we're always going to be improving with the product. But it's been great to actually use it ourselves. You know, we've done, I think, 10 deals in the last 12 months. We've got a little over 3,000 investors on the platform, raising capital for great sponsors, but really just doing it ourselves and showing, keep making the product better and just showing it does actually work.
Right. No, I think that's awesome. So tell me about Honeybricks. I mean, so you guys are working with great sponsors around the country, but give me kind of the and it is crowdfunding, but give me kind of more of a deeper dive into the product itself, who's investing on it, how you guys manage that. I mean, that's still, it seems like even with a great CRM, there's still a lot of moving parts into bringing a sponsor in, getting the deal vetted, getting it approved on the platform, getting investors in. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces there. How do you do all that?
It's quite simple once it's up and running and using technology, but obviously there are a lot of moving pieces, especially around the regulatory front, as you outlined. But the value prop we provide to, you know, investors that, you know, find us and invest in Honeybricks is really around three things. The first one's like pre-vetted deals. You know, there's 2 million apartments across the US, apartment buildings. There's thousands of syndications every month. We have a team that goes out and finds 100 of these every month and like underwrites them ourselves, gets comfortable with the sponsor, the market, you know, the deal. And then we'll pre-vet these things and bring one to two to the marketplace that we truly believe in. The second value prop is really around better terms. So these are funder funds where we're investing in another operator's deal. So they're doing all the real work, you know, actually, you know, renovating the apartment building, finding a diligence and working with tenants, improving the asset, those sorts of things. So operationally, it's quite an easy lift as far as managing these SPVs entities. And the third one is we provide the options for secondary market liquidity after 12 months. So investors can sell to other investors in the marketplace after 12 months, you know, separate from the deal. So the deal's life cycle might be 5 years. After 12 months, if Sally wants to sell to Mary, you know, they can do that through the platform.
Wow, that's really good. Yeah, solving the liquidity issue is pretty cool. How does that work? Is there a loss to the initial investor? Is there like what's the liquidity options look like through Honeybricks? Because there has to be an exchange of value somewhere.
Yeah, we don't provide, you know, valuation benchmarks. What we do provide is, you know, the issue price. Here's what the preferred return value would be, and those sorts of things. But it's really up to Sally and Mary. You know, they can post advertisements within the platform, and they can you know, negotiate if they want on an anonymous basis. But you know, we don't set the price.
Sure. And so then they just swap out their position in that particular deal.
Yeah, the particular entity, because remember, it's a fund of funds which are separate from the deal, so it doesn't actually influence the top deal. You know, it actually this influences right. the SPV with the investors from Honeybricks in it.
Right. No, that's really, really. So each of your deals on Honeybricks is a separate SPV.
Mm-hmm.
It goes live, and then investors get in on that. Talking about crowdfunding, we've had some new legislation, I guess, come through. This is being recorded August 8th, 2023. So tell me about that. You told me a little bit about this off air, and it's some stuff that's new news to me. Maybe I'm just two heads down. I don't quite know, but give me some color on that and how that's affecting what it is that we are doing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It hasn't made more noise, I guess, in the community, because we saw it and we said, like, that's quite interesting. We knew it's been coming for a while, but as far as how quickly it's moving through, you know, the House of Representatives and the Senate, it could be here within the 12 months. And what I'm talking about is the Equal Opportunity for Investors Act. Now, there's a representative from, I think it was Nebraska, Mike Flood, I think his name is. And he proposed something called the Equal Opportunities for Investor Act, which basically asks FINRA, the SEC, to approve a accreditation test, right? So not based off income or no net worth, but an actual test that right. people that are financially sophisticated can take and then become accredited investors. And why that's interesting is that the approval in the House of Representatives was overwhelmingly positive. It's like 300 to 20 or whatever it is. And it seems to be moving pretty quickly to get into the Senate. And given that overwhelming response, it's likely it'll get approved quickly by the Senate. So as part of that legislation, they need a test within the next 12 months. So if you work backwards from that and say it takes a few months to get through Senate, it could be with us, you know, by the end of 2024. And why that's important is, if you believe people do want to invest in this stuff, and you know, at Honeybricks we only work with accredited investors, and we probably get, you know, 7 out of 10 people that want to invest in Honeybricks are not accredited, which we politely have to say,
no.
You know, sorry, due regulation, we can't work with you just yet. But I think there's a huge market here in the US around non-accredited today investors that want to invest in private real estate. You know, they're sick of the stock market volatility. They want to invest in stuff they understand, you know, generate double-digit returns. They can't do it. So I think that's a really key piece of legislation that's changing. It's going to be a big change in the amount of capital that's available in private real estate deals.
Oh man. And the number of people that are highly intelligent, very capable of making these decisions, and yet they can't because they don't meet an income or net worth requirement. It's like, that's the people that need to be in these deals anyway. Like, I mean, I think about friends of mine that are, you know, they're judges, they're lawyers. Maybe I mean, it's like, you know, they're not making $500,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
but they're very smart people. It's like, but you don't meet the accredited investor requirement. This is silly.
For sure.
So yeah.
There are a lot of benefits with it. You know, I think it's there for a reason, but I think you're right. There's many very smart, financially savvy people that want to invest in these deals and could invest in these deals, but can't due to the legislation. So right. That's changed, which would be great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is fun. I'm glad to see you're staying on the front end of these changes. I mean, getting Honeybricks out there, taking advantage of the crowdfunding legislations and laws, then building GP flow and making Honeybricks run off of it. I mean, those are all very, very cool things. Andy, I love what you're doing here in the real estate space. and how you're really bringing new products to the market that are meaningful and making a difference. So certainly appreciate that. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
For sure, if they're a GP or a sponsor or a fund of funds manager, head to gpflow.com. You can learn more about what we do and how we help GPs there. If you're an LP looking to invest in high quality multifamily deals across the US, check out honeybricks.com. Either way, you can always find me at Andy at gpflow.com as well.
Fantastic. Andy at gpflow.com, honeybricks.com, and gpflow.com. Make sure we include all of those there in the show notes. Andy, thank you again for coming on today. I do appreciate it.
Right on. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.